At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
This show is brought to you by The Makery, the podcast network for makers.
Guys, welcome back to Knife Talk, your number one podcast for knife makers, knife enthusiasts, DIYers, anything you want. You have questions for us, you have feedback for us, you have questions to ponder, dilemmas, we're here for you. I'm Jeff Fader from Fader Knives. With me is the great Mareko Momasi, Momasi Fire Arts, and the equally great Craig Lockwood of Chop Knives and the 355s. We're here every week to help you pass your time because we know that sometimes you just need that friendly co-pilot next to you. Guys, how the hell are you?
Good.
Good. Good. Tired. I'm tired. Very tired. I've just woken up, literally.
Why are you so tired?
It's all Buddy's fault.
It is all Buddy's fault, yes. Yeah. So for me, it's the evening. It's now 9 p.m., so we've done the whole getting the kids to bed. And generally that means lying down with the kids, with the little one till he sleeps. And lately, I'm not a napper at all, but lately I've been falling asleep with him, like for the last few months. I'm having like a pre-sleep nap. Oh. And it kills you, you know, like an 8:30 p.m. nap is, mm-hmm. It just kills you.
Oh, brutal.
Yeah. And I've just stirred from one of those slumbers now. So, bear with me. Yeah. But no, I'm good. It's been a good week, actually. Kids are all back in school. So I'm back in the shop, which is really nice. And I'm putting no sort of pressure on myself. So I'm getting to sort of experiment a little bit as well. And I've had loads of handle material delivered this week. And I've never used this stuff before, like reconstituted stone.
Huh.
And I've had loads of it. Like, thankfully, this place in France has opened and they sell it. And it's cut down ready for knives. It's just beautiful. All the different colours and that kind of stuff. And I always thought they were going to be brittle, you know, stone. I was imagining, you know, right. You know, the thin platelets, drop them, they're going to be brittle. But because it's reconstituted, what they do, they sort of break it up into bits. And from what I can gather, it seems to be like in resin then. So there's no sort of big bit that'll take, if you were to drop it, for example, it's not like dropping a big plate. If you imagine dropping a broken plate, those little bits won't break, but a big plate would. So it's almost like that. So I'm really pleased with it. And it's like polishing up beautifully as well. So really, really excited to be using it. So nice. Yeah, it's been... Good.
How's the drilling?
Okay, slow and steady seems to do the job. That was something I was really worried about, them cracking and things like that and the drilling. But no, I haven't had anything crack at all. But I have been super, super cautious with it. Maybe too cautious, I don't know. But I haven't had any issues at all. So yeah, really enjoying it. So yeah, That's my new thing, man.
But what are you? Yeah, rock and roll. I got it. We all got it. So are you working on anything specific, something new or something you want to talk about? Or?
Not yet. Okay. Something new. Yeah, new knives and stuff. They're not going to be runs of knives. They're going to be one-offs and that kind of thing. But I just want to get a few under my belt again and get back into the swing of things, you know. And almost like starting again. So these will be, you know, family and friends kind of things, you know?
Oh, cool.
Yeah. And I'm really, really liking it. It's different. I'm liking it. It's good. It's good.
You know how you pump up that account? Here's some unsolicited advice. You start doing some giveaways.
True. Maybe. Yeah. Yeah. The odd giveaway on a new account. Yeah. Yeah. Possibly.
Yeah. I would think
I need to set one up, and next week, I'll have a new account I can tell people about. Hopefully, yeah.
I would think that because you're in a brand new spot and time has passed and you set your shop up, it does feel like it's brand new because it's not the same feeling as being in your old shop.
Yes, completely, completely. And I've set up like a really minimal setup as well. And I'm looking at all the stuff and I'm thinking, fuck, why have I got all this stuff? I'm not going to be using all this, you know? But I suppose I will do. And I will, yeah, it'll come to that. It's just really nice to be working without any sort of pressure at all, and just making things that I think are quite beautiful. So, yeah, it's cool.
What's the extra stuff you got laying around? Extra kit? Or
get 20
extra
Dremels.
Kit. a drawer full of broken Dremels. but, you know, before I had like it was like a shop front in where we previously lived. Mm-hmm. And it was a big shop and it was just full. And now I've managed to strip down to, like I explained last week, I've got like a huge dining table in a barn. And I've got, you know, I've got a drill press, a grinder, even heat, a buffin thing with two mops on it. That's pretty much it. And I've got like a wall with, you know, tools on the wall I can just take off and put back when I need them. And I'm thinking, this is like hardly any room at all. And it's everything that I need. You know, it's quite strange. So I've got boxes and boxes of stuff. So I'm doing this thing of when I need a tool, it then goes on the tool wall. So it's always there. So I'm not getting everything out and trying to find a home for everything. When I need it, I'll dig through everything and find what I need. And then I can put it on the tool wall because that's something I'm going to need. But I'm finding I've just got all this stuff now that I haven't used. And I've completed a few knives. I'm like, fuck, you know? So yeah, so it's quite freeing to be without any pressure and to really take my time on things and try something new. So it's good, yeah.
But
it
without like the time, up.
Sorry,
go ahead.
I was just gonna say, it sounds like you're geared up to the whole like host makers and do kind of master classes Tomer's been doing with Mr. Fader here.
I don't like people, you know that.
What's the point of having that pub if?
That's for family and friends.
So you can drink alone.
No, do you know what? I never do. I've never been in the pub. The only time I've been in the pub on my own is when I did a few podcasts from there that time.
Sure.
When we were sort of setting up the house. Yeah. I just don't do it really. The kids go in there and watch films sometimes, but that's pretty much it.
I would think that the best part is you have this new shop, but you have this new shop and you're minimalizing it because you have the experience of what needs to happen. So having that history and then the space between working and not working, that you don't have this pressure to get to a certain level, because I would just think that you're much more relaxed based off of the experience that you've had.
Completely more relaxed. Yeah. Yeah.
Pretty cool.
That's great.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just nice. And just finding these, weirdly, these new handle materials. And I've had basically on the website, they've got the pictures of, and it's the actual pieces you'll get. They picture each piece. And I've just been seeing them. I'm like, oh, I'll have that one. And they've all come. And it's just like, oh my God, they're like stunningly beautiful. And that got me really excited then. And it's, you know, it's good. It's really good.
I just sent you a link. You get both a link to a site. Is that the kind of handle material you're talking about? It's like this true stone material? I've just seen it recently. My buddy, who actually just lives here, not right here, but like 20 minutes away from me, he's Tori. He's Gunstrong Creations on Instagram. He's been using this True Stone recently.
Yeah.
And I found it to be very similar, surprisingly durable, but with like a really cool aesthetic to it. Like, basically, it looks like solid, maybe turquoise. I'm like looking at one right now. It's turquoise.
A lot of them are turquoise with gold in
gold veining through these different.
Very kind of, similar to that. So yeah. I've had a few of them delivered of that style, but some of them are far less sort of marbled, if you like.
I gotcha.
And they look a lot more sort of natural.
I see.
It's pretty cool. I'll send you the link now.
I've used that specific true stone, that turquoise true stone with the black web.
Okay.
It's chippy as fuck.
When
you drill it. And it's because it's almost like, I think that they're like bubbles or something like that. So you have two different materials, and if it breaks, It's not like G10 where it has a structure in there.
Right. Right,
so if it chips because of, for any reason, you know, any reason it chips, it just like pops open. So yeah, like
hard,
the times
hard edges as well. It's not good with it.
Right. And the times I've used it, I've definitely had to like have extra on hand because it falls apart.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
How long ago was that?
That I used it?
Yeah.
I've done it. It's really good for spacers in like spacers. It's not that big of a deal if you can drill it big and then kind of grind it down. Mm. But I used it for some bolsters, and then I was doing I used a Corby bolt to kind of put a shoulder into one, and it just like it tore up one after the other, and I had to kind of take it apart and put a new one on there, and it's beautiful, but I'm not 100% sure the juice is worth the squeeze, and it could be me, you know, just manhandling it. But the times I've used it, it's not as it's very, very delicate stuff.
Sure.
Like if you dropped it, that shit is fucking donezo.
Oh, interesting.
Oh, right. Okay.
But it's awesome.
Maybe it's different stuff than you use.
This stuff was like very, I love it. Trust me.
Sure.
If I can figure out a better way to like, I think the Corby bolts were the
issue.
I might
have a solution for you.
Not use it?
At least as a spacer
material. That's
my
favorite solution.
Not use
spacers, it's not a problem. It's if I use it, like I like to use it, I would use it as a bolster material. Mm. And then on a laminated set of scales.
Yeah.
And then the problem is when you drill into it, the Corby drills just are not really super pumped. And
I see.
In order to get a tight, and then if you want to get, you got to get, you know, the Corby bolts and the shouldering drill are so goddamn tight that if anything's out of whack, it just wants to fucking explode.
Have you ever tried, what's it called? What are they called?
Taking your fucking time.
Yeah, slowing the fuck down. Stop ham-fisting it.
Ham-fisting? Jesus Christ. The YouTube, trust me, I know
like
the secret.
The diamond
secret is having extra. That's the secret.
No, like
the secret is having a lot of extra.
Bit. Yeah. So. What my solution was going to be, I just saw actually Peter Swarsbert, he's been doing a bunch of crazy Mokume stuff, and he made some Mokume spacers that look like this True Stone kind of effect. So it's copper with these nickel veins going through it, and it's fucking cool.
That's cool.
Very cool. So people should check that out. It's Peter Burt Steel on Instagram. Anyway.
Is he selling it?
I think eventually he's going to be selling it.
Okay.
Yeah, he makes the stuff, and then he offers it up. Or you can just reach out to him.
Everybody should just reach out to him.
Everybody.
Everybody.
Mareko, how are you?
I'm doing good. Last weekend, our last episode, I was getting ready to do or go to this event that was just like 30 minutes down the road from me. David Lish is a master smith in the ABS, American Bladesmith Society, and he hosted a show in Yelm, Washington, and there were makers from all over the fucking place, and it was awesome because it was like a tiny little blade show that where I got to like hang out and see friends, knife maker friends, and meet some new people without having to travel all the way across the country to basically Kitty Corner down to Atlanta, Georgia. But it was great. It was a lot of fun. It was good to see a lot of folks I hadn't seen, well, basically since Blade. So Josh Prince, Will Stelter, fucking Francesca Ricci. She's Teton Leather. Just a lot of great people and catching up with them. And the kid was there with me on Saturday. Actually, Salem was there. I hadn't seen Salem since Blade Show, and he had his kid Fire there. So I made sure to warn Victor to be careful playing with fire, because I guess he gets a little wild. No, it's just making a stupid dad joke. Anyways, they got along really well. They're like the same age. Fire was born 4 days after Victor, so they had a good time hanging out. It was a lot of fun. And Dave was a great host, and like there was lots of after hours stuff. Hanging out, making pizzas, and just socializing longer and carrying over the event, which is really nice about doing a smaller event. You know, you do this, like the official thing, and then you can have kind of extra bonus after hours, basically cocktail hour afterward, So it was super cool to hang out and do that. I'm coming off of business meeting again with Sarah. We dialed in the class in the Pacific, or not Pacific Northwest, the Northeast, the Great Northeast. I'm going to Maker Camp October, October 11th to 14th is Maker Camp. And so right after that, the 15th and 16th, I'm going to be teaching a 2-day class. It's my Decoding Mosaic Damascus class. I'm going to be teaching it in Providence, Rhode Island at a place called the Steelyard, which is kind of like a makerspace that has makerspace stuff, but they also have a forging setup. And they do welding and stuff, but I'm going to be focused more in the classroom because that's where this class is more of a seminar style. But there's a massive takeaway for anybody that's taken the class, and anybody who thinks they want to take the class, is basically you're going to get Mosaic Damascus enlightenment by going through this class and understand really like getting a really deep understanding of how material moves and what the different forging processes you put steel through and how it affects the lines within the material and blah, blah, blah. Well, different ways to weld material back together. And some of the nerdy scientific stuff in regards to like carbon migration and shit like that. So hopefully trying to answer a lot of questions for people and really just helping to open up the entire world of pattern welding up to you. So if you're interested in that, send me an email. It's malmossyfirearts@gmail.com, or I also got a contact link in my Instagram bio, or you can go to my website, malmossyfirearts.com. And it just sounded like a really long commercial. But anyways, I'm excited about it because I love, and Jeff, you've seen this when you teach the classes down at the CMA or up or over in Spain. It's just like, there's like a light that goes on for people. And that's really invigorating and exciting. I really enjoy that process. To see that light come on and all of a sudden these people's brains are just like imploding with all this new information. It's super cool.
Nice. Look at you. You can bring your running shoes to Maker Camp?
Yeah. In fact, I just bought a new pair.
No. Oh, he's taking a seriously.
Yeah, baby. Oh. Listen. Brian House just announced what time it starts. House on the Work for Podcast. 4:30. So we're going to have, I named it on this. See, Brian and I are now talking via podcast. We don't have to call each other anymore.
Oh,
so I'll send him like a message on this. He'll send me a message on his. So at Maker Camp on Sunday at 6:30, Brian, I don't know what time, where we're meeting, but I'm sure you'll figure that out. At 6:30 a.m. Sunday morning, we're going to do a 5K.
Next to the fire pit.
Whatever. Fine. I don't care. Whatever. Doesn't matter to me.
Rise and run.
Yeah, we're calling it the run for it. He likes the name. Jokingly said we'll call it the run for it 5K. So if you're at the Baker Camp, 6:30 a.m. we're gonna do a little run. I know Ben Seacrest sent us a funny message. He said, I'll be there. You know, my wife was mad at me because she said, you don't do any 5Ks with me. You're going to do the 5K with these guys you don't even know. And I was like, all right, come on, Ben. Run with your wife. Jesus Christ. You're going to don't get in trouble with your wife.
Everybody's practicing this week. Everybody's out.
I'm pumped. I'm going to do some running this weekend. I'm excited. So it'll be fun. You know, look, it's relaxed. There's obviously not going to be, it's not very well organized. So who knows? Just we'll have some fun. So that's going to be exciting. So I'm looking forward to seeing you there, Mareko. And trust me, don't, I'm just fooling around. You don't have to go. Don't worry about that.
No, I'll be there.
So,
I can't wait for the updates.
That'll be fun. Look, listen, Craig, I know you're very competitive. I'm not competitive. It's nice to get people get out there moving. We're all getting older, and we got to figure out ways in which to kind of keep the fucking joints lubed up. You know what I'm saying? You know, keep them shits fucking lubed up. It's not all just grease fittings and, you know, plunging out grease into them shits. You got to move it or lose it. So I say move it.
I'm back on the collagen, by the way.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, yeah. I take it in the morning with my coffee. What's so good about it?
Yeah.
Your collagen breaks. Yeah, so collagen is good for your joints and helping to lubricate your joints as well as to help rebuild some of the cartilage and other kind of tissues in your body that that the amino acids and proteins aren't necessarily doing the job for. We don't eat a lot. Actually, I feel like I've heard on a few different podcasts that most people don't actually get enough collagen, because that's the stuff that you would get from, like, if you're eating chicken, like the little knobbly bit of cartilage at the end of the chicken or something like that. The only way of the thigh bone or something. That's kind of one of the few ways to get it. And most people are skipping over that. But there are these supplements. And so I've started supplementing with my coffee, put a couple tablespoons in, a little bit of creamer, because it is not taste good. And a little bit of honey.
Are you noticing a difference?
I mean, it's only been like a few days, so.
Okay.
I was just at Costco just a few days ago, so.
Okay.
But.
And also, I remember who is eating that little chicken nubbin? Who's eating that little cartilage bit?
A fucking animal.
Oof.
Yeah, geez. Boy. That bone is naked next. When I'm done.
Ew. Jeez. He's boning naked.
Suck that bone dry.
Oh, baby. He's sucking that knob. He's getting off that little part.
Anyway, Jeff, what's been going on?
Well, I just got back from CMA and Center for Mental Arts, and we had another awesome class, and it was really interesting because they just finished Pat's starting to teach this class for teachers, and it's really interesting because they're creating this concept of, like, you come in the class and you have to figure out, you have to create a curriculum, and then they'll do a little research, and then all of them will take turns teaching each other the class for 2 days. So mm-hmm. I had a long conversation with all the students and the participants, and then a couple of them got to see me teach. And I've been doing this Friction Folder class for a while now, and I really kind of dialed it in. And the interesting thing is what these kids don't realize is and especially to, like, all the people who are getting involved with forging teaching, this is new. This whole thing of recreational forging as recreational forging instruction is brand new. So it's really, like, there are a lot of things that people are missing, and there are a lot of guys and gals who are excellent makers. But as far as instructors go, they fucking suck. And that I'm saying that with respectfully. And I know some of the best knife makers in the planet. I've had classes with them, and Jesus Christ. I mean, it's bad. That's just because you're good at something doesn't mean you're good at everything. Yeah. So we had a real good conversation down there. I'm really, like, that's it. I'm only going to be teaching there, and I'll do a little helping with I'll do a little workshop with at Florentine Kitchen Knives and stuff like that. I don't really kind of, that's it. I'm really trying to focus my energy on getting people down to the Center for Mental Arts. So we had a full class, and we started going in, and the first day I'm doing the demo, and I'm doing the chalkboard stuff, and I'm handing out leaflets, and we're explaining. And then half an hour later, turning the forge on, and I'm doing a physical demo of the piece. And then hour and a half all day, all of a sudden we turn on the forges for everybody. And then one of the assistants comes in. She goes, "Oh, Jeff, here's so-and-so, he's an hour and a half late. He's ready for the class." Just fucking guy missed the whole hour and a half. I mean, this is like the whole thing. Great kid. He was driving all the way out from, like, Michigan. Had a nice conversation. He felt terrible. He was just like, you know, just things got out of control. So what do you do? What do you do? So I fucking manned up. I got him squared away. I had him caught up with everybody, and we had a great class. It was really like this whole thing about, you got to, like, figure out ways in which to kind of make it happen. So
was just going to say, didn't you say before that you've been talking with Pat, or Pat's starting this thing where they're taking video of some of the instruction stuff?
He was doing that a few years ago. Right? He did these kind of, like, it was like a notebook situation where they would video, and it was like not classes, video classes, but it was like to help you alongside of the classes.
I see.
So, like, if you take physical classes, they were meant to be helpful to you afterwards. Guide. And it got to the point where I don't think it was, like, the juice wasn't worth the squeeze. And obviously, you know, it's hard. It's the whole business is super duper hard. But there are so many people who are looking to learn forging, but they also want to learn how to teach. And that's the hardest part, is this, like, what do you do when curveballs happen, and how do you get everybody over the finish line, and how do you time management and stuff like that? Yeah. But it was great. And then I'm back. I'm tired, but I'm back. And what I had a conversation, I actually thought this would be an interesting topic of conversation for us, is I was reading an article and I saw that. Do you know who Hawktua is?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. The whole world knows.
Haley. Yeah. Her name's Haley Welsh. So Hawktua, for if you haven't, you don't know.
Was that the New Zealand chick from the rugby team?
Come on.
Really?
Come on.
I don't know.
Really?
You see, oh, you don't know?
I don't
all
know.
Of a sudden you're going to play dumb. You don't know who Hawktua is?
No.
Spit on that thing?
What?
You don't know. You're telling me you don't know who Hawktua is?
I have no idea who Hawktua is.
You have no idea.
You've got to be the only person this
is
in the world.
This is a bit. He's sticking with the bit. I know.
I'm
he
not.
Knows who exactly.
No.
Who,
here,
dude, you send me so much that? Stuff online. You don't know who the girl who says... You don't know who the girl who says this. You know, what do you do? That girl, you like, sometime you got to spit on that thing. Hawktua. You don't know who that is?
No.
I know you know. I heard your poker face, dog. I know your fucking tells.
No,
of course
no
you do. You don't
clue.
Know who Haley Welsh is. The girl who says Hawktua.
No.
Yes, you. I heard it. I heard it in the voice. I just don't worry. I go with the bit. I appreciate you sticking with the bit. You don't know Hawktua.
I've never seen it. What?
Never.
I'm not allowed to not know something. Is that what you're saying?
I just find it hard to believe. That's all. I know you're plenty allowed to not know something, but I'm, right. Now I have to explain it.
Here so, we go.
Well, I'm sure there are other motherfuckers.
Other podcast, this is. We'll explain.
All right. So hold on. It's people like you that make it difficult for others to ask questions. I don't fucking know. And so I'm asking you to explain it, and you're making me an fucking asshole. And this is why people don't like to ask fucking questions. Because they get their fucking
like you,
brows beaten in for no fucking reason. I don't know. I seriously don't know.
Okay.
And I think you're being funny, but it's annoying actually a little bit right now.
All right.
Let me send it to you.
I apologize. My it was not my intention to upset you, obviously. I apologize. I thought it was a bit, and I obviously, Mareko, I didn't mean to offend you.
I'm not clever enough for bits. That's your fucking job.
All right.
I'm here to answer questions.
All right, well, having a conversation here.
Okay,
yes. So this girl was walking down the street, and they asked her these questions. All these video people, they go down and they create content by asking people questions. And they asked her a question. She became, you know, very famous because they asked her about what you do to a guy who do whatever. And then she happened to probably be a little bit drunk, and she ended up saying, "Oh, you got a Hawktua. You got to spit on that thing. You got a Hawktua." And she became very famous for a while. For this whole Hawktua thing. She's been on podcasts. She's been on this. Everything's Hawktua. Even the political people. People are starting to say, referring to people as Hawktua girl. All right, so
okay.
that's Hawktua. So right. What's interesting is that for a long time, you know, this is a girl who didn't expect to be famous. She didn't really. She went on the street, went on friends. They got on a video. She just happened to relate to people. Just for some reason, related to what she had to say. Now all of a sudden, people are like, "Enough with the Hawktua girl. Enough with the Hawktua girl." So now she's starting a podcast, and people are irritated. And what do you think she's naming the podcast?
Why wouldn't she name it Hawktua?
She's naming it Hawktua, which I actually think that's pretty funny. So yeah. What's interesting? So here's what we're getting to. What we're getting to is there's this concept that when I read the article, people were saying underneath it, they were saying, "Oh, one other person who has no skill." They don't deserve to be here, and another person being famous for nothing. And in my mind, I thought, you know, at the beginning it was a joke, Hawktua. It's just so stupid. But at the same time, I thought, here's a person who is getting their bag. You know, opportunity is presenting themselves.
For sure. Completely, yeah.
Opportunity is presenting itself. And then she is taking advantage of that opportunity. And what I was thinking about it, because sometimes I get messages that are kind of like on the, you know, not very nice towards me or whatever, and based on, you know, whether or not I deserve to be in the position that I'm in or whatever. And I started to think about the fact that we have, sometimes there's this pecking order in regards to who is deserving of what. And in the maker community, there's this concept of if you're talented enough, you deserve a different degree than someone who just seizes upon an opportunity. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think so.
What do you think?
Yeah, sort of.
I mean, it's unfair to a certain degree, isn't it?
You mean if there's somebody who might be perceived as not being I guess, yeah, like less talented than another maker, but they're getting bunch of visibility. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, yeah, more or less. I mean, I think that there's a little bit of, sometimes I think that there's this concept that people think that there is there's a pecking order in regards to who deserves what.
Okay.
And that definitely is a thing. Yeah, of course. Of course. And I know some people will feel a bit sour about that, thinking, well, my work's far better than that. You know, why is this person getting all the attention or all the money or whatever it may be? But I just think it's people doing what they can. And if they find a streak of luck, they're riding it. I mean, good on them, I think, you know.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, going back to this Hawk Tour girl, you know, that's exactly what's happened, you know. That could have sort of destroyed her, really, you know. And there was talk about, you know, losing a job and all the rest of it. You know, I don't know how true all that was. But she just sort of took it, and now she's, you know, she's made something of it and made something positive of it, really, I suppose, you know?
Yeah.
And I think if anybody gets any opportunity to make something, they're not going to turn it down, and they'd be fools to do that. So I think, yeah, you can't blame anybody for taking any credit where maybe it's undeserved, but I can see how some people would feel a bit sour about that. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Well, and I feel like I've heard other makers or makers talk about other makers, and they're like, well, why is that guy getting all this visibility or getting all this praise or all this shit, and he's not even that good of a maker, I make better knives than him? And it's like them or whoever, you know, I've heard it actually about various makers, and I'm like, okay, if you're in that position, do you think you could jump onto a podcast or into an article or in front of a camera that you know is gonna, and this shit's gonna be seen, read, or listen to by millions of people, and you're going to have anything meaningful to say? You're going to be a fucking choke artist.
Yeah.
And so there's like this weird gatekeeping around who deserves what. And that's not it. Opportunities come. Why wouldn't, you think somebody's going to stand and be like, oh, you know, this other maker is much better and they're very talented and I've admired them. They're my friend. They should have this opportunity. It's like the fucking people came to you. Take the opportunity, and if it expands into other people, great. But I don't know. I think there is a kind of a weird gatekeeping, and it's stupid, honestly.
Totally agree. And I think we've talked about this on the show so many times about that, so many other talents that you need. You know, we've all seen sort of great stuff out there. And maybe, you know, they put it up and it's not presented in the greatest light and things like that. And we also see people putting some shit up that's presented really well.
Right.
But that's a huge skill in itself, you know. And I think people underappreciate the extra skills involved in, you know, getting your work out of it and getting it appreciated. Making the work is obviously the majority of the job, but there's these other skills as well, which are sort of softer skills, I suppose, that you really need. And that, you know, we see some people out there who are great at these soft skills, but maybe not great at the making skills, or vice versa. And I just think whatever it takes, you know, whatever skills you've got, you know, lean on them as much as you can.
Yeah.
I think it's a tricky spot. And I think I see a lot of very talented people who feel as though, what about me? And why am I not, what about me? Why am I not getting these opportunities? And
because the world doesn't owe them anything. Well, nobody owes them anything. It's almost up to them to make it happen.
There's almost this sense of like the talent should pluck you out of obscurity by itself without having to take advantage of opportunities that present themselves.
Yeah.
Mm. Well, that's not the case. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think in today's day and age, you have to create that opportunity for yourself. I think it's unrealistic that you're going to be plucked out of obscurity, like you're saying. And social media has created that opportunity to some extent for you to have that opportunity, to have that, as to quote Gary Vee, is to have that at bat. And if you don't take it, you're not going to fucking do anything. Like, you got to take the time. You got to make the effort. And I think it's impressive what you're doing, Jeff. You're just like throwing fucking content out there all over the place, and you're just trying all kinds of shit. One of your shits fucking blew the fuck up, right? It got over like a million or some crazy number.
I wish a million. No, yeah, I got one. Something just hit 800,000. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good.
That's pretty fucking good. And I think a lot of people would be like, oh, why not me? I was like, you're not fucking doing anything. So why the fuck would it happen to you?
I got some knife makers who were a little bit frosty with me about it.
Mm. They can suck it.
And you know what? A lot of things as well. I think it goes down to like art, like modern art as well. Some people look at things and go, well, I could have done that.
That's true. Freaking,
that's ridiculous. That's simple. But the thing is, you didn't do it and they did, you know? And that's the thing. Just do it. Just do the thing. You know, I'm sure we've all seen modern art and we go, fucking hell, I could do far better than that. You know, how is this person, you know? But the thing is, they're doing it. So fucking do it.
Well, that's actually, you know, years ago we talked about there was an art show where somebody took a banana and some tape and put it on the wall. You remember that? It was in Miami or something like that. Yeah. And there was a ton of people who were saying, this is why I don't like it. And it made such a hubbub. And the whole thing was, I was explaining to someone, I was like, yeah, well, you know, it's not for you. But at the same time, I mean, everybody's talking about it, you know. Right, and the Hawk Tua thing is so interesting because there's a lot of things about it that's interesting. And the interesting thing is she never really meant for this fame.
No,
like she threw out a first pitch at the Mets at Chase State at City Field for the Mets. And everyone was like, people were losing their fucking minds. Like, this is a disgrace. Why would you let this person in here? She said something, she resonated with people, and then she's capitalizing on it, and she didn't want to work in a spring factory for the rest of her life.
Yeah.
And I feel as though there's just like, I mean, she was in a fucking spring factory. I don't know anything about her except for the fact that she's like, you know, she's seizing upon an opportunity, and I say get that fucking bag.
Yeah.
You know, same thing with like people who go on to Forge and Fire. You get this opportunity, fucking get that bag.
Yeah. Yeah, I think what happens is a lot of people see opportunities like this happening for other people, and they do the whole "what about me" kind of thing. But the reality is, like, what they're doing has nothing to do with you. It is not directly affecting you in any way, other than your insecurity is starting to ramp up and rage out of control to where some people, I'm sure, is talking all kinds of mad shit on this girl. And it's like, why? What she's doing has nothing to do with you. It is affecting you in no way. She's not hurting anybody. She's not breaking any laws. So what the fuck? It's all this ridiculous outrage. And maybe it's just people pumping up headlines to and it's false, like fake outrage, so just to get fucking attention on something that's hot right now.
I'm sure a lot of it is that. It's just
But in real, it's just. Has nothing to do with
I was just trying to bring it to the kind of knife community in regards to, you know, there's this, I mean, how do we proceed? It's like, I feel as though the hardest part is, and maybe it's just because, you know, I'm old enough to like have a little bit of perspective in regards to kind of working for myself for a long time. It's like, you got to focus on your path and you're not going to be, when I first started with Tomer, there were some messages of being like to him saying, well, you got Fader over here, why don't you get me? What about me? And it was always like this sense of like, you got him, but what about me? And it's like, we have this degree of comparison, and it's like,
email, okay? That was it.
But I mean, you know, like, oh, he's just a stock removal guy. You know, why don't you bring me over there? And there was a few of those. And it was very much along the lines of like, well, he wanted me to come over. And it's like, I'm not good enough. I'm not part of your pecking order. And sometimes I had to like, there's been a couple opportunities, especially when I did that that video for Epicurious. I got fucking inundated with dudes just like, I can't believe you're on that. That I should have been me. I got a few guys who were like, that should have been me up there. And it's like, I seized upon an opportunity. Was I the perfect guy for that? No, but I mean, at the same time, it's just like I seized upon an opportunity to do it.
You just like all the comments. Not that necessarily the comments were great, but you know, like you're saying, people were talking about it, and you got a gift for gab. Like there are makers like you, Fingal. Like there are a few makers out there that could just fucking spitball and roll with it amazingly well. Where I'm like, I do this podcast, but otherwise I'm like sitting in the corner, kind of quiet.
But you teach, you do your
teaching. Well, I do, but I like
that's not easy.
The whole top of the mind conversation kind of shit, like that wit, that quick wittedness. Like I don't have that, and I think like there were probably even people who were like, oh, that he's using your knife. Why weren't you in that video? I'm like, there's no fucking way I could have done that video. I would have been I would have been the wrong choice for that video, for sure.
I hated it. If you want to know, I hated every second of it. I hate it.
Well, whilst you two suck each other's bone dry, I'm going to stick on an adult.
Collagen patrol.
Knife Talk is sponsored by Evenheat, the manufacturers of the finest heat treat ovens available. To find your next oven, go to evenheat-kiln.com.
Come. There we go.
If you just braise at 200 degrees or so, covered for about 2-3 hours, all that collagen is going to come right off the bone.
Hey, baby. Yeah, I'm with you.
Whatever you say. With an even heat, though? What?
Yeah. Oh, whatever you imagine doing like braised ribs in an even heat? Holy shit.
The smell would be great, but oof.
So, it's all covered. It's all good.
Here's what we got, guys. You're right. You could definitely do it in an even heat. You better cover that shit up. It's going to be some dusty grit. There's a fucking dusty grit otherwise.
Extra minerals.
Carcinogens. Yeah, that's right. Minerals. All right, here's your choices, guys. We have new questions from our beautiful listeners. We have listener feedback, and we have something I wanted to bring up because, you know, Craig is also a musician, and you play the guitar, Mareko. You guys are musical people, so we have music news. We have music news. Maybe we could do it at the end.
I'm a noodler.
All right. This is perfect for noodling. So
well, you said we got some questions from our beautiful listeners. Do we have any from the ugly listeners?
Well, yeah, we got some of them too.
Here we go. I've got loads.
We got some of them too.
Let's start with a couple of them then.
Well, in regards to, I don't know which ones. I don't know these people in general. I don't know their personal look, but I'm assuming they're all beautiful people, guys. If you want to submit a question or feedback or anything to us on Knife Talk, go to Knife Talk Podcast on Instagram. That's where you can interact with the show. The first question comes from our friend Maine Everyday Carry. Maine Everyday Carry. He says, do you guys EDC carry a knife every day on your person? And if so, what and why? Maine Everyday Carry.
I'm going to change this up a bit. Yeah, because we answered something very similar recently.
Okay.
So let's just change it up a little bit. Okay. When it comes to EDC, generally what you carry in your pockets. Include a knife if you do, but generally what, Mareko, what are you packing at the moment?
Tall boy. I got, I just have a shitty little spider, or sorry, I have a inexpensive Spyderco, CPM S35VN. That was given me for free while I was down inside Eugene, Oregon, at the Oregon Knife Collectors Association show for being a table holder. I like to keep cheap knives on me because I beat the fuck out of them.
Was that the one that went into your foot?
Yes, it is. A couple episodes ago. Sure is. Everything's healed up, by the way.
The foot feels good?
Right as rain.
All right, there you go.
Yeah.
And what else? As well as the knife, what do you generally hold with you every day?
Sometimes I have a Sharpie on me and my keys and my wallet. That's it. Oh, actually I have a lock picking kit in my wallet.
Oh, right. Really? So you don't need the keys.
Just in case I lock my keys in the fucking shop, which I just did the other day, actually.
Oh, wow.
Bad habit. Wow. ADHD and all.
All right. Jeff, what are you?
I don't like anything holding in my pockets. I was carrying around one of my shop knives for about 4 months and then I wanted to see if I could pretend like it wasn't in my pocket and it went great. And then I was like, I want less in my pockets. So I have my wallet and I have a key. I have a key fob for, I hate to say it, but the Jeep is destroyed. The Jeep is no longer with us. Mm-hmm. I'm still sitting shiva for the Jeep.
You're one wheel into work every day.
I know. That's I wish I would if the drivers in the town I live in were safe. This is some of the worst driving. I mean, Mareko, you're talking about bad driving in Connecticut. The people who are getting hit on the street are so high. I refuse to bike to work. So, I'm in our family car, and then I don't carry anything. But if I did carry something, if I were to do what Mareko does, I would probably have a small Victorinox. Or I used to carry around a Leatherman, but it just got a little bit heavy. So I would probably have one of those little Victorinoxes. But at the same time, I'll put them in my pocket for weeks on end. And I won't do anything with them. I'll never need them.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
If I need to open up mail, I got the knives at the house. If I need to open up something in the shop, I got knives at the shop. I never in between. And I have like a toolkit in the car. So in between going home and in the shop, I'm rarely never in a position where I need that shit. So I just hate having things in my pocket.
Yeah. I do wish I had a Leatherman. I would like
they're great. One.
Yeah, they're awesome.
But they're heavy.
You can get, they have all kinds of new ones. They're little dinkers. Yeah. They got big clunky.
The Wave is the best one, in my opinion.
Yeah, the Wave is a good one.
The best one. But it's still, it's like in your pocket and it's like jangling around. You sit down and it's kind of like nopping in your.
So does that mean you're rocking a fanny pack then to carry all your lip gloss and all that other shit?
No, no fanny pack. I do have, when I run, I use a fanny pack, but
yeah,
I do not.
Boy, that's it. I knew it. Well, now, do you wear it around your waist or over your shoulder?
Around your waist. You can't carry. You can't carry. You gotta, when you're running, you have to have your phone and you have to have a couple pieces of ID and you need something around your waist so it doesn't rock. It doesn't move when you're running. So I somehow have a little fanny pack if I'm running for a long distance.
Okay.
Fanny pack.
But I don't do it any other than running.
Yeah, fanny pack. I forgot that means something different.
Yeah. For you. It's a vagina bag for
they're called bum bags. Yeah, but
you know, same thing.
Fanny pack. Yeah, same thing. Same thing.
There we go.
I call it the tiny shoulder pack. If you carry
I see a lot of people wearing them over their shoulders now, especially like the young'uns. Yeah, yeah. I carry basically nothing. We generally don't lock doors around here, so don't carry keys with me. Keys we leave in the car. I don't carry really a knife with me. I carry my phone. And I've got a bank card in the case of my phone if needed, but generally I just use my phone to pay for things. Pretty minimal, yeah, yeah. And I've still got like a really old iPhone, like the 12 mini, and they stopped doing the minis after that, and they're all too big now. And I'm like, this one's dying on me, and I'm like, I don't want to buy a new one just because they're all so much bigger. The less the better for me, I think. But yeah, I don't really carry knives. Generally, day to day, we picnic and stuff. As I said, I'll take Opinels and things like that with me. But generally, not. No, no.
Mm-hmm. There you go. Congratulations, main everyday carry. That was. I mean, we didn't do a whole lot with that one, but I mean, you know.
Yeah. Okay, Fox River Blades said, "Hey guys, a question about drilling holes. Ayo. Can you talk about how to deal with work hardening? I get all my steel from New Jersey Steel Baron. I've had this problem with W2, Nitro V, and MagnaCut. I run my drill press at slow speeds. I've used high-speed steel and have destroyed multiple bits with carbide inserts and solid carbide bits, and I've had this recurring problem. P.S. I've used brand-new bits as well."
Interesting.
What do you think, Mareko?
Well, he says slow speeds, but if you're drilling anything less than a quarter of an inch, you actually want a higher speed, I feel like. And if you are working with materials that have a tendency to work harden while you're drilling, honestly, probably like a carbide tipped or a carbide reamer is going to be a better move for you rather than a high-speed steel drill bit. But especially for the W2 or any of those, honestly, I'm kind of surprised. You might also try to use some sort of cutting oil to help keep things cool. But I will say it's probably more of like, it's not just a combination of the heat, or not just the heat from the friction of cutting, but also from the kind of vibratory action. And but also making sure your drill bits are sharp. All of those things should help you be able to get through the steel just fine.
I wonder the state of the steel, whether it's already hardened slightly from, you know, other processes that he's doing before he gets to drilling.
Yeah.
I mean, he said that he's using carbide inserts and he's used solid carbide bits as well. He's had the same problem. So maybe it's the material. Yeah, maybe look at the point in the making where you're doing the drilling, whether things have already hardened at some point.
Yeah. That's weird. Mm.
I've used Nitro V and I've used AEBL and I have.
At Kroger Pharmacy, Care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. At Kroger Pharmacy, Care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
I haven't had that problem, but I know that if the bit is a little bit dull, then it's going to start that friction and it's going to make the bit fucked up, and then it's going to work hard in the steel. In regards to, I don't know anything about MagnaCut or W2. I just think sharp bits. I don't really fuck around with carbide inserts and all that stuff. I just use regular bits and try to go on the slow side, more torque than speed, and try to get it to bite. It also could be the mill scale. I mean, I'm just spitballing here. I don't know. The mill scale is usually harder than other things, especially if it's like a stainless steel. If you kind of like maybe the mill scale is giving you a hard time. I'm not 100% sure.
Yeah. I've used carbide insert bit, which are usually sold to like cut through stone or concrete or some shit like that. I have a collaboration piece that I'm working on with Will Brigham, and I forgot to drill the steel. It's a different project. Anyways, it's got a full tang. It's a loveless replica that I've been working on for fucking ever. Still haven't finished that thing. But anyways, and I forgot to drill before I did the heat treat, and I don't know what I was thinking. But anyways, I got some of those carbide insert drill bits, and it cut right through the CPM one, like hardened CPM 154, just fine. I was actually kind of shocked. I will say, if you're going straight to your whatever, say you are going to quarter inch for whatever reason, if you're going straight to the quarter inch, that might be a little bit too much work for your material or for your drill bit and for the material. And so maybe doing a couple steps, or even going from eighth inch to quarter inch drill bit, could make it a lot easier to drill through rather than getting it all in one go. That's it. That's all I got.
What do you think, Craig?
Yeah, like I said, look at where you are in the process, whether things have already sort of hardened slightly. That's all I've got, really. Like Mareko just said, if you're using something like a quarter inch, maybe step down a bit first. Personally, I always would anyway, because I find quarter inch and above, it's hard to get your mark. Okay, you may use a punch to get your mark, you know, to drill exactly where you want. But it is so much easier with smaller bits than anyway to get your mark. Yeah, that's all I got, really.
You know what sometimes sucks is if you do a pilot hole and then you get the bigger size up, but not completely a bigger size up. And then if the corners of the drill bit are fucked up, that'll fuck things up too. That didn't make a whole lot of sense. But like sometimes, like when we get stuff, a water jet cut from the New Jersey Steel Baron, and sometimes it's just a little bit tight. We always run them through the drill bit first, just to kind of clear it, just to make sure that it's the right size. Sometimes that fucks up the corners of the drill bit because it's not activating the whole thing. And sometimes that'll make the drill bits a little bit dull on the sides, which ends up making the whole thing dull.
Yeah. That's definitely a concern.
I know, it sounds good.
All right, should we take this going? Next one?
Go ahead.
All right, this next one's Hubris Workshop. He says, question. I had a return customer set up a group buy on a matching custom set of knives for his military unit. Each guy paid for their own knife through my website, but I only had one point of contact. A year later, one of the buyers, not my contact, emails me saying he busted a piece of the micarta off the handle. He seems a little pissed off, and I want to take care of him. I sent him a prepaid shipping label and told him to send me the knife, and I'd fix it or replace it for, free of charge. It's been a couple weeks, and I haven't heard from him. Should I follow up? Normally, I just say the ball is in the customer's court and move on. However, because it was a group buy from a tight-knit group, I'm worried about one guy's bad attitude spreading and reflecting poorly on my business. How hard should we try to get a customer to accept our customer service? Cheers. That's an interesting question.
Good ass question.
This This is a good one, because when he says he seemed a little pissed off and I want to take care of him, I sent him a prepaid shipping label and then you didn't hear anything back.
Yeah.
It's like some people, they just want to be pissed off.
Right.
And when you then do the right thing and with kindness, they're like, oh shit. Whether they're embarrassed or they're just like, oh, fucking, yeah. You know, they've sort of lost interest then. Mm. But their initial reaction is to be pissed off, even though you're going to do the right thing.
Yeah.
But I think, I mean, if he's not responding to you, maybe just send a quick email to your to the contact the that you do content. Have.
Yeah.
That, yeah. And just say, look, I've heard this has happened. You know, I want to make it right. Just, you know, I've sent him a thing. Just let me know if I can do anything. And leave it at that. You've done all you can. I think, you know, yeah, this guy being pissed off, you know, he'd broken something and you were going to replace it. So you've done all you can, I think. But yeah, just maybe just send off an email to the contact you have, explain the situation, say, no, I want to make it right. And then the ball's back in their court.
I agree. I wonder if he fired off that email in like a fit of rage or whatever. And then he told the other guys, and they're like, you fucking ding dong, that's your fucking fault, you did that. Because breaking Micarta, Micarta is an insanely tough material, so if you broke it, you were doing something really fucking wrong.
I
feel as though you've done enough. Hubris.
Yeah.
Sure.
I feel as though, like, you've answered his email, you said you take care of it, you gave him a thing. I've had a number of guys who, one guy, every year he would say, hey, you know, if this handle's fucked up, could, and I sent you guys a picture of it. He claimed that he hadn't put it through the dishwasher. And I said, don't worry, just send it in.
He just left it in the windshield of his car when it was 120 degrees out.
He put it in the, well, once I got it, I called him up. But before I got it, every year he'd say, hey, Jeff, I was wondering if you could fix this handle. I'm like, yes, send it to me. And I give him my address and send it to me. A year later, I wouldn't see it. And then I'd forget about it. And then a year later, hey, Jeff, remember we talked about you fixing this knife? I was wondering if you could fix it. Yes, here's my address. Send it, almost identical. I'll take it care. I'll send it right back. Three or four years, we did the same goddamn thing. And part of me was just like, I can only do so much. And I'm willing to take care of it. I'm willing to fix it. I'm willing to fix it free of charge. I'm not making a production about it. I'm not placing blame. But I cannot make this guy put it in the mail. I won't go to his house. I'm not driving into the city to get it. I'm not making special arrangements for it. He's a grown-up too. Now, in regards to him being angry at you for whatever... Some things, there's nothing you can do about it. You can do the best you can with what you have. You can try to give the best customer service, but some people are morons, and or they don't care, or there's a million things that could go wrong, or whatever. You've done enough. This is not like an iron lung where someone's life's dependent on it. This is a knife that, you know, obviously he used or doesn't use. And when he gets to it, he'll use the prepaid label, which he probably already lost, right? Or your email's in his spam folder. There's a million different fucking things that could happen. And customer service is great and I go the extra mile, but at the same time, you can only do so much. And, you know, there's a large amount of people who are crazy and you just cannot make certain people happy. A perfect example. My wife has got a person who is just trying to get stuff from her at her job, and she's asking for stuff out of my wife's purview. And and my wife explained, this is not what we can do, this is what we can do. We can help you with this, we can't help you with that. After explaining what they can and can't do, the woman threatened to call the Department of Health for something that was like completely nothing to do with, you know, this was an unreasonable person. And God bless him. And we're, you know, Hillary's just like, I can only do so much. Some people you cannot, you can give them and give them and give them and give them, and then you can't make them be right.
Yeah. You've done the right thing. Yeah. Hubris Workshop. I mean, what more could you do? You know? Yeah, you're good. Don't worry. Don't worry.
I will add one last thing. In the beginning of his question, he says, I had only one contact, even though it was a whole group. And they all purchase individually through your website. I mean, I'd be curious what you guys think about this, but I would be encouraging people when they make makers, when somebody makes a purchase through your website, you should also be collecting their email information. One, for situations like that, this, but two, for remarketing purposes. When you have other stuff available, maybe that comes down the pipe later down the road, you can turn around and distribute the email to those people as well.
Yeah, it might be a case, I don't know where he is in the world, but for some countries, it's got to be opt-in, that kind of thing.
Oh, so, I got you, yeah.
Whereas a lot of, you know, checkout systems, they'll automatically take your email address, add to an email list and all that kind of thing. Some countries, you can't. That's
illegal. Because, you know what, it says he had it for, I had a return customer set up a group buy on a matching custom set of knives for his military unit. So maybe this is like a, this is some sort of, you know, this obviously this is a military situation. And maybe the guy was just gruff. Maybe some of these guys, you know, some people just don't know how to talk. You know, it's like, some people don't know how to behave. And it's like, they also, I think that there's also this misconception that when you buy something from someone, everybody's this giant business. And it's not just you answering the phones and dealing with the stuff and dealing with the bullshit and doing, they just assume that, you know, maybe your price was so good that they just assume that you're some fucking big corporation and they just wanted to throw themselves around a bit. It sucks.
People suck.
And
with that, shall we move on? I tell you what, before we do.
Combat Abrasives makes the world's best abrasive belts for knife makers. Available in any size at unbelievable prices. Go take a look at combatabrasives.com and get 15% off with promo code KNIFETALK15. Do it now.
15% off. Get on it. Right, what we got, Jeff?
Well, we have listener feedback, and we also have music news.
Let's do music news.
Oh, you want to save the music news for a little bit? I thought closer to the end.
Okay, you keep tickling my balls with this. This is twice you've done this now. Let's do something boring first. Come on.
Tickling your balls from across the pond. Damn. Listener feedback. Guys, if you're on Instagram, you can send us your listener feedback, your questions, your stories, anything you want, Knife Talk Podcast on Instagram. I do want to make one point. Our friend, I've been talking about this for a long time. Actually, this is kind of I feel terrible for this guy. I've been talking about STP. STP Custom Knife set had, we were talking about the Louisiana Knife Show. Okay. So he posted this thing because there's a hurricane down in Louisiana.
Oh yeah.
He said, "We're sorry to say, but the 2024 Louisiana Knife Show is canceled for this weekend. We're hoping to reschedule soon. We don't have a date." The complex they were using was an emergency staging location, and they just informed us they had to cancel. We're very sorry for the inconvenience and hope everyone can understand. So we're sending our best wishes to him. And I said, "Oh, we'll see." I figured there was like a hurricane coming through or something like that. And I said, "Well, stay safe." And he goes, he said the worst part about it, the hurricane wasn't shit. So, I mean, the whole place was evacuated. So he's bummed out. So we've been talking about it. I'm sure when in STP Custom Collect Knives, the Louisiana Knife Show happens again, I will for sure say the whole situation. So Jacob Stout says, apparently I've made Jacob Stout angry with me. Jacob Stout says, "Hey guys, Jeff, hopefully you can get my name right this time. Last week you called me Justin and then denied it. Maybe I'll start calling you Greg or something." That was the beginning stages. Sorry, Jacob. I mean, I'm not a politician, number one, so I didn't deny it. I listened back, and yes, I did call you Justin, and it was my mistake. I made a mistake, so I apologize, Jacob. Yesterday in the shop, I was hand sanding a handle, and I didn't have a good grip on the piece, and somehow applied too much pressure and launched the knife up into my face, nicking my lip. Guys have any funny, embarrassing, or how did that even happen shop injury stories? And then he's got some feedback after that. So you guys have any how did that even happen shop injury stories? I feel as though Mareko dropping a knife into his foot on a camping trip did enough.
Well, it wasn't a shop, but okay. It's embarrassing. Sure.
Mm. What do you have any shop?
I've caught myself on the edge of the platen with a coarse belt a couple times in my knife making, And it's always so stupid. And I'm just like, it's me not paying close enough attention. I think I've also, what was it? I was wearing a wool, like a Field and Stream, like wool, like over jacket thing on top of me trying to stay warm, and was grinding, and I wasn't wearing my apron. Actually, this is before my apron, and I could smell burning, and I didn't know what it was, and I looked down, and like right in front of my crotch on my sweatshirt or on my shirt, it was the steel wool from the grinding was smoldering and starting to catch my shirt on fire.
Oh, was it not on the peen? Peen's
no,
okay.
it was on the okay. Yeah, the wool jacket, wool shirt.
As long as the peen's okay.
I'm glad you're so worried about this.
We don't want to cook the peen. I mean, you don't want to cook that wiener. You don't want to cook that wiener. You don't want to cook that wiener. Craig, do you have any weird, how did that happen stories?
Not in the shop, really, no.
How about not in the shop?
Yeah, I've cut myself many times with knives and things like that. But no, not really in the shop.
What about on the stage?
Not hurting myself, no.
Hmm? No. Okay. Oh, look at you. I mean, this is like the ballet dancer.
Mr. Safety.
Mr. Safety. I mean,
Mr. Safety.
You're unbelievable. Yeah. Last winter, I had a Scotch-Brite belt snap on me, and then it fucking went right down my face. Like, I had a mark on my face from one side to the other. That was bad. But weirdest thing...
You weren't wearing, like, respirator or anything?
I was wearing my glasses.
Okay.
I wasn't wearing a respirator at the time. I might have been wearing the respirator. It hit my face and my nose. Maybe I wasn't wearing a respirator. Maybe I wasn't at the time. I know better now. The weirdest thing that ever happened to me was I had a brand new wire cup, and I was using a right angle grinder. And when they're brand new, they tend to, like, those little loose ones tend to shoot. Shot across the top of my hand, and it went through the skin, through a vein. And, you know, sometimes that happens, and you just, like, you have it, and you kind of pluck it out, and it's not a big deal. Well, as soon as I plucked it out, I could see that it went through into the vein. It punctured the vein, and then the top of my hand started to expand with blood. It was like a water balloon on the top of my hand. And I started freaking out because I was just like, what the fuck? You know, obviously, like, when the wire came out, it must have changed the holes from my skin to the vein, like, moved a little bit.
So the vein just, like,
the vein just kind of opened up into my hand, and I immediately just smushed my hand down, and then I called my wife terribly, and I said, it's bad, it's real bad. My hand is exploding with blood inside. I got a water balloon full of blood in my hand. And she said, well, is it squirting out at the same rate as your heartbeat? And I said, no, it's just like this, you know, bloody bubble under my, and it's not, wasn't like, and she said, you'll be fine. And I was fine, but it was weird. Definitely weird.
Yeah, no, I've been quite lucky, I think. Quite lucky.
Damn right you have. And some feedback from Jacob. He says, earlier this month, I started renting a case in a local flea market / antique mall type store. Because of your advice about diversifying and searching for avenues other than Instagram, not even halfway through the month, and it's already paid for itself. So I appreciate you guys. Got to do whatever it takes. So, you know, look, he's mad at me, and now he's happy. So I think we all worked our way
around. Slapping the tickle.
We're all okay. Everybody's okay. Jacob, I'm with you. I'm with you. This piece of listener feedback comes from Pig Iron Forge. Hi, guys. I wanted to comment on the customer service portion of the last podcast. I'm happy that you touched on it, and I brought it to people's attentions, because I believe it's hands down the most overlooked part of our business. I'm crazy about it. I answer emails, messages right away. I send photos and videos of the custom build. I offer a lifetime warranty and honor it on all my knives that were sold on the marketplace and aftermarketplace and shit I didn't even know. Whoa, 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 whoa. And I honor it on all my knives that were sold on the aftermarket and shit that I know they did. Like, shit, like, you break it and I fix it anyway. Mm. Doesn't matter. It's about the customer. Dishwasher, no problem. Send it back. Drop it. I'll see what I can do. Bought it online with that scratch. I'll give it a spot A. The market for people who will spend $700 on a chef knife isn't that large. Every interaction counts. And one more thought. Most of my customers like to collect knives from different makers. So good customer service not only helps sell my next knife, but yours too. My two cents. Thanks anyway. Pig Iron Forge. Oh. Fucking white glove service from Pig Iron Forge.
There you go. Yeah.
Jesus Christ. I will say, and I think I said this years ago, but a friend of mine bought a knife from a knife maker. And he called me, that I knew. And he bought it because he knew that I was friends with him. And he sent me a message. He says, listen, you know, I just bought this knife from your guy. And it came, and when I opened it up, it had rust and patina on the blade. So I brought it to the guy's attention. And the guy said, the knife maker said, well, it wasn't like that when I sent it. And that was the end of it. And my friend was like, not, this is not really, that's just, you know, that's it. I mean, and he's going to tell that story, you know, to everybody he knows is a knife maker. And it gets to the point where I've always heard, I used to work for a guy who used to say, the customer is not always right. The customer is not always right. And that whole customer's always right is a shortened version of the expression. I think the whole expression is a customer's right, except in the sense of when it comes to taste and preference or something like that.
No, it's only in the case of taste and preference.
Correct. So I feel as though there's this strange situation, especially when we get into this business. This is maybe our first time business. We don't have a lot of understanding that just a little bit of extra care goes so long. Mm-hmm. What do you think, Marco?
I agree. Yeah, I think you just never know who's going to be seeing your work, who's going to be hearing the stories, and it honestly, like, I don't know. You got to be doing really high volume to not be able to take the time, or shit's gonna be shit like this is happening all the time on you. Maybe you gotta be making a better knife, but the reality, like, and I know I've pissed and moaned about knives coming back and doing all this shit, but the reality is, like, it happens maybe once a year, once every year and a half. Something needs a spa day, or a customer wants to update the grind, or needs some work with the handle to resculpt it. Fucking, I just do it. I definitely have better things to do with my time, but actually, it is a good investment in the customers, which is reflects well on you in the long term, and how that person thinks of you and regards you in the future. And if they have somebody, they know somebody who's looking for, you know, coming over for dinners, and they love that knife that they use to blah blah blah, whatever. Where do you get? Where can I get one? Guess where they're fucking sending you? To the maker. Or sending them to the maker. But if you are shitty feedback, they're gonna say, well, I got it from this guy, but he's kind of an asshole, and tell him the shitty story and be like, well, I guess I won't buy a knife from them. You don't want that. None of us. I think most of us don't want that. So you gotta think about that, how your interactions affect your long game. Are you gonna be doing this just for a few months? Or are you gonna do this for the rest of your fucking life? You gotta take that in consideration in regards to how you interact with your customers.
What do you think, Craig?
Yeah, and I think a lot of it is just thinking about your work that's out there and having a care for that as well. So if you send something out and it's not right, I mean, surely you're proud of your work and you want it to be the best it can be as well. So I find it strange why you wouldn't want to make it right, you know? It's a strange one. You know, if it's something, you know, later down the line, something has happened to it, fair enough. But this guy literally just had it delivered and is not right. You'd think you'd want to put that right, surely, because it's your work out there. But, yeah.
I had a college friend of mine was buying knives for me, and he told me a story. He used to buy a knife maker from a local knife maker from where he lives. And he would buy knives with his friend, and they would have this nice relationship. So something happened, and they bought a knife from this knife maker. And the knife maker thought it would be funny to paint it pink, the knife, and then write some sort of really horrendous slur on the knife, thinking that it would be like, they would think it's funny. Hmm. And my friend was like mortified, totally mortified. And he was upset about it. And he was just like, we're never done. All I'm going to do is tell bad stories about you. It was a strange story. We could talk about off the air. Yeah. We could talk off the air. When this is all done, I'll tell you what he wrote. But it was like inexcusable and was like, and they just, you know, he thought he had this relationship. I guess the guy thought he had this relationship with these people. And it was like, at some point, there needs to be a degree of professionalism and people just need to feel like they're taken care of. Some of you guys think that your customer is your friend. And it's like, maybe that's the case. But at the same time, it's like they want a degree of, you know, when it comes down to it, you got to figure it out. You got to figure this shit out. I got to tell you the story off air. It's madness. Total madness. That's a radio tease, guys.
There you go. Okay. Well, I've got to tell everybody about TexasFarrierSupply.com because they sell everything you need. Whether you're a knife maker, a farrier, or however you identify, head on over to TexasFarrierSupply.com, peruse their website. They've got everything, including Indasa Rhino Wet, which is, hand sand is one of those things we all hate doing. Rhino Wet just makes it easier. Trust me, if you haven't used it, get some. Head on over to TexasFarrierSupply.com, fill up your cart with everything you need, and if you use Knife Talk 10 at checkout, you'll get 10% off the entire order. But go do it, TexasFarrierSupply.com.
Big news from Texas Farrier Supply as well. November 16th from 9 to 5 is Blade Fest. Blade Fest, which is in Cannondale, Texas. Join us for a free day event with knife making demos and vendors. Lunch will be provided. And then Texas Farrier Supply will be open all day. You can have live demos from Jay Nielsen, Shelly Jack, Eric Rivers, Gerald Harper, Joe Curtis, and much, much more. Explore incredible vendors, connect with various companies, and learn more about all of our awesome products. Vendors are welcome, so go send a message to Texas Farrier Supply. You can email sales@TexasFarrierSupply.com if you're looking to be a vendor. November 16th, Blade Fest. Nice. Evan sent me that message.
I wish I could make it to that.
November 16th. November's tough. November's tough. It's going to be great. It's going to be,
I'm going to be down in Georgia. I have a private lesson down. I got a private class down in Georgia. I want to make it. I've been talking to Evan about trying to get down there for a long time. But I think it might make sense to kind of pair it up with the whole Blade Show Texas, because they're not far from where they do Blade Show Texas.
There you go. Double up. Yeah. Get a little class situation going on. Double dip. Guys, are you ready for a little music news?
Let's do it.
Do you have any? You don't have any jingles. That's okay.
No.
So, guys, did you know that there's some wild music news that happened this week? Did you hear what happened to John Bon Jovi?
Oh, Bon Jovi. No.
I heard something today. He talked some woman off a bridge or something. Yeah. John, I don't know the story. You tell us.
It's amazing. John Bon Jovi helps talk a woman off the ledge of a bridge while filming a music video. Whoa. Rockstar John Bon Jovi helped talk a woman off a ledge, off a bridge in Nashville this week. Nashville is also home to Hawk to a Girl. All right, never mind. Bringing back to the new meeting to keep the faith, the Metro Nashville Police Department tweeted on Wednesday that Bon Jovi and his team had persuaded the distressed and unidentified woman to come off the ledge over the Cumberland River to safety. The police also shared a video of the incident, which had been taken down by YouTube. The video is unbelievable. But other clips by local media and fan accounts help paint a picture of what happened on the bridge. The footage of John Bon Jovi saving a woman's life by talking to her and getting her off the edge of the bridge. Absolutely love this guy. Compassion towards people. It is amazing. The 62-year-old singer happened to be filming the music video for People's House on the bridge, which remained open to the public. At one point, he noticed the woman in blue standing nearby on the outside ledge of the bridge. Overhead footage shows Bon Jovi and another woman from the team walking towards the woman who's facing the water, but notices as they approach, Bon Jovi greets her with a single wave, which she returns. He then comes over to stop a few feet away, leans over the railing. His team member, who's described as a production assistant, joins them, and the three proceed to talk. After about half a minute, the production assistant puts his hands on the woman's back and helps turn her around so she's facing the bridge. After more discussion, Bon Jovi and his colleagues grab one of her arms and help her hoist her across the railing. She and Bon Jovi then share a few more words and a long hug. The two are left the bridge together a few minutes later. It's unbelievable. Wow. You got to see the video.
That's wild. When you said Bon Jovi waved back, I was like, oh my God, did she fall off at that point? I'd be terrified.
She went down in a blaze of glory.
You know,
oh my God.
Let's do some more jokes. Let's do the, she yelled, she starts singing back to him, it's my life, now or never. You know, there's a lot of jokes in there, but it is incredible. If you watch the video, I mean, the guy is the Superman. This is like incredible.
He's got the tattoo. He's got the Superman tattoo. Oh, yeah.
Are you a big Bon Jovi fan? Yeah. Jeff?
I'm from New York. I mean, a big Bon Jovi fan.
I don't know what the fuck that means. Is he from New York?
He's from New Jersey. That's a good point.
What does that have to do with Bon Jovi?
That's a good point. Well, I mean, he's from New Jersey. He's from New Jersey.
Okay.
So, I mean, like, growing up, I mean, definitely. I mean, big fan. Would I go see him? No. But at the same time, it's like, I've always appreciated him. But this is like an incredible story.
Yeah.
No, it is. Yeah.
I mean, what would you do in that situation? If you're like on the bridge and you see, would you try to call for help? If you watch the video, he walks up and just talks to her and, you know, just kind of like doesn't grab her and pull her over the thing. He just like coerces her into coming over.
Yeah.
Was she a fan hoping for that to happen then? Do you think?
Can you imagine that? Can you just imagine the 355s? They're filming a video on the bridge. Somebody's fucking about to, looks like your drummer turns to you, Craig, I think that woman looks over there. She's going to jump over there. And you said, we got two.
Believe me, my drummer would have been too late.
we only have this videographer for 5 more minutes. She'll be okay.
I think maybe she was like a Bon Jovi fan, and that was a way to get his attention or something. I don't know the story. I only saw the headline.
It's crazy. It's like the crazy part is there's video from the bridge, and he's a hero. And you know what? It's a great story because it's like, you know, it's nice to see these great stories.
Yeah.
All right.
Of course.
Yeah. Next music story, this is not as nice, is Foo Fighters' Dave Grohl reveals he's cheated on his wife and welcomed an outside baby, a baby outside of his marriage. Did you guys hear about this?
No.
I did, yeah. I mean, he's been warning us. He's been telling us for a long time he had a confession to make.
Yeah, there you go. Look at you.
There we go.
And that's actually funny enough. That's the first thing. Dave had a confession to make. Foo Fighters frontman has welcomed a child outside of his marriage and is fighting to regain the trust of his wife.
One of those kids is not like the other.
I do like the Craig's matching Craig songs to these.
Yeah.
Rock legend made the stunning revelation in an Instagram post on Tuesday. He said, I've recently become a father of a new baby a daughter outside of my marriage. I plan on being a loving and supportive parent to her, love my wife and children, and I'm doing everything I can to regain their trust and earn forgiveness.
Ever schlong.
Oh, look at you. You are unbelievable. You are legitimately unbelievable.
It's a shame because he was always thought of as the nice guy of rock. And I was reading today, apparently she's 20 and the baby's already been born. So he's just trying to get ahead of the news because it was going to be leaked kind of thing. It is a shame, isn't it? But, you know.
With the mother's 20?
Apparently so, yes. Oh, wow. Yeah. Again, it's all rumor, I think.
Well, there is actually, like, there is another article about the fact that Dave Grohl says there's an Instagram photo claiming that the love child, he's calling out fake news, and a now deleted Instagram account posted a photo of the baby's name and said she's the father out of wedlock, and Grohl's reps are saying that, you know, I feel bad for him. I was talking to my wife about it. And she, you know, my wife is just like, fuck that guy. You know, he's, you know, for, you know, leaving his, you know, knocking out someone up on, you know, you got a family and stuff like that. Apparently this is not the first time.
Yeah.
I feel very bad in the situation because, like, if you think about modern musicians, I don't think there's anybody in, well, my generation who has been through as much as he has. I mean, You could say the Nirvana and the Foo Fighters are, I don't know if you could say the Foo Fighters are more popular than Nirvana, but Nirvana was far more influential to popular music than most bands. And the fact that he's been in two bands that are incredibly influential, and then to have the lead singer of your first band die, kill themselves, and then you have the second band where your best friend dies. There's got to be, I mean, it's almost like a Shakespearean situation. I mean, it's very, very, very tragic. And you, and then you hear this stuff, and it's a very sad situation.
Yeah, and I think he's, you know, massively scrutinized because he's such a, you know, a huge character, a huge name that everybody knows about. But I'd imagine a lot of front men of rock bands who are traveling the world 9 months of the year getting up to similar sort of stuff, but he's always had this reputation of being this family man, you know, and you brings his daughter out on stage and all that kind of thing. So it just, I don't know, it's questioned a lot of people's sort of perceptions of him. I think, but like everything else, in a month's time, there's going to be other news, and they put out an album and people love it, you know. It's just, yeah, it's obviously going to be quite hard for him at the moment, but you know, he's only got himself to blame, I think.
Yeah, and that's music news.
There we go.
Well, are we going to keep with music news? Or didn't really do what I expected. There was two stories, and I was listening on the radio, and they were talking about Bon Jovi, and I was just like, this is unbelievable. And then the Butchum called, and I'm like, let's just do a little music news.
Yeah, yeah. I was watching TV with my wife last night, and I just opened up my phone on Instagram, and there was Dave Grohl's his statement that was up. I was like, geez, no way. Because normally you see things, don't you, and they're from like rumor sites and that first, and you're like, oh, I don't believe that. But this was, you know, straight from him. It's like, oh, wow.
My favorite part is Craig quoting lyrics from songs that are relevant, especially all of them were from, all from the Foo Fighters. That was very good.
I would say that's saved a bit, Craig.
Do you think, episode should be called Everschlong?
You coughing up the songs for the stories? Saved it.
There we go. I'm glad to be of service. Glad to be of service. And you know who else would be very glad to be of service?
Go ahead.
Lawrence at maritimeknifesupply.com. They've got everything there at Maritime Knife Supply. Belts, steel, handle materials, tools, forges, kilt, basically everything we mentioned on the show, he'll have. He's the Canadian distributor of combat abrasives as well, so he'll do a deal where if you buy 10 belts, you get 10% off your 10-pack and all the rest of it. Really good dude, Rhino Wet, all the stuff we sell, he's got it all there. MaritimeKnifeSupply.com, also Maritime Knife Supply on Instagram, so go follow, go check out the website. There's always new and exciting stuff there as well. Lots of handy tools and stuff like that. Go have a look. MaritimeKnifeSupply.com. What else?
We can do a little. I mean, we could do a little bit of after show, or it's up to you. Or we could do a question or two. Or
let's do a question or two. But first of all, Jeff,
go ahead.
Tell us about your grinder.
Oh, dude, I got a.
And I don't mean your grinder account that you use it daily on your phone.
Yeah.
I mean your actual grinder.
Me and Dave Grohl. Me and Dave Grohl are
grinder.
Grinder, yeah. Duh. Broadbeck Ironworks.com. What'd you say?
He's trying to get the best of you. Yeah.
Oh, dude. You're unbelievable. You cannot stop, please. Don't stop. Guys, if you want to make it happen, you get yourself a Broadbeck Ironworks 2x72 grinder. This is an awesome grinder, and it will give you everything you want if you're removing material. Anything that will remove material, this is for you. If you want to go vertical, you want to go horizontal, this is the machine for you. And if you go to broadbeckironworks.com, put in the promo code KNIFETALK10, you're going to get 10% off. Now, something special has arrived from Ben Seacrest of Broadbeck Ironworks. The Quad State sales announcement. They're running a Quad State sale from September 20th through October 4th. The sale will provide free attachments to the Max package, Premium package, and Mega package, and the power will come with a free set of the Power Hammer comes with a free set of drawing dies. You can buy the Power Hammers on their website. So definitely, then Knife Talk 10 will not be used during that sale. We won't have Knife Talk 10 And it will resume on October 5th. So they have a sale going from the 20th to the 4th, probably when this comes out. Definitely the 20th to the 4th, definitely get on that Quad State sale. And then afterwards, you can use Knife Talk 10.
I wonder if they're going to have one of those hammers at the at Maker Camp.
I would I'd be surprised if they didn't. Then I would think would. Yeah, super fun. Yeah, I'm super psyched to see it. I love those guys, and they're always trying to figure out ways in which to give people savings, and savings is where it's at. BroadbackIronworks.com.
Areco, let's say, right, you wanted to use some stainless Damascus on your Broadback. What would you use?
I would use Damasteel for sure. Course, yeah, it's the highest performing stainless Damascus being manufactured in the world, and it's from the beautiful country of Sweden. Which Jeff just came from, right?
The tournament. I did. Yeah. I did not go to bed. I did not go to see the Damasteel guys.
Carly is probably very crestfallen, but
she's fine.
Yeah, they make a fantastic product, and it is high performance, high toughness. And if you are concerned about that Damascus you made getting all stained, you don't have to worry about that with Damasteel. They're great guys. They're great to work with. And I think, does Lawrence still have some of that? Actually, the Drakkar for the Knife Talk build along?
I know he did last week, but whether they've now sold out, I don't know. So get on it. Get on it.
And I'm sorry, I always space the website. I think it's damasteel.ab, right?
.se.
.se. Oh, S-E. Am I doing the wrong?
Yes. Okay.
That's the Instagram, isn't it?
That's right.
Okay. Fuck, I'm all like discombobulated. All right, damasteel.se. Make sure you put in Knife Talk 10 when you check out to save yourself a little bit of cash. Set up yourself an account. Get yourself some damasteel and get it put to work. I think you're going to be pleasantly surprised with the results of this steel. It's a really great material to work with. So go again. Check them out at damasteel.se and make sure you use Knife Talk 10 at checkout.
Cool. Okay. Should we call it a day?
Yeah.
Let's call it a day. Thank you all for listening. We shall be back again next week. Bye for now.
I'm tired.
Yeah. Very tired today. Very tired.
So yesterday was 9/11, and it was a tougher day for me than it normally is. The 23rd anniversary of 9/11. And I've talked about it before. My wife and I were in Brooklyn at the time and witnessed the whole thing. So I was trying to work all day and not get involved. And I had a conversation with a high school friend of mine who all his friends were in Cantor Fitzgerald and was in the, you know, he lost a ton of friends. I didn't have any friends of mine that I know directly that were in there. So I'm trying to get through everything. There's a couple guys I talk to every year and you know, blah, blah, blah. So I'm working. I'm staying the fuck away from social media. I'm saying, well, I don't want to see any of it. And then this morning I watched the Yankee game, and the Yankee game was really great because that was the whole thing of New York coming back is, you know, the 2001 Yankees kind of like came back in October, and it was like the world, we're going to be okay. So this morning I think to myself, I'm like, skated free, da, 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 da. Turn on, they had a clip from ESPN of Derek Jeter, captain of the Yankees, talking about 9/11, and I just started fucking crying at 5 o'clock in the morning. And Hillary says, "What's wrong? What is wrong?" And I was just like, "It's Derek Jeter. He's telling the story." And I was a fucking mess. And then she said, and it was funny at the end of it, because she's just like, she said, "What? Derek Jeter's making you cry?" And I was like, it's too hard to explain. And it was this very funny situation, because I started laughing because I'm blubbering about 9/11 and the fucking Yankees. And then she just has no idea what I'm talking about. She thinks I'm having like some sort of existential fit. So that was my morning. It was exhausting. It was emotionally exhausting.
Yeah.
Yeah, I bet. Yeah.
Yeah, I kind of steered clear from social media myself too. I don't know. It's heavy.
It is just depressing, social media at the moment, isn't it? I mean, it looks, and all I've seen this week, I mean, I've got no right because I'm not an American, but all I am seeing is, you know, the Trump and Harris debate, you know, little snippets of that, you know, so I don't even know, I haven't seen it, I don't know what, you know, I said, no real right to sort of comment on it, I suppose, but as I've been told more than once.
Really?
But
really?
Yeah, but I just think, Yeah. But I just think, you know, as well as that, there's, you know, stuff going on in the UK as well. And it's just everywhere. It's just as if the bad news seems to sort of bubble to the top, yeah. You know?
What do people say to you? Yeah, it is. You can be vague. What do people say?
Basically saying it's none of my business. And
really?
Yeah.
And they sneak into your DMs, yeah. They tell you it's none of your business?
Yes, I've had two today.
That's a fucking weird thing. That's a weird thing.
I never put up political stuff. But I was just on Instagram today, I just put up a reel somebody else would put up, you know, because it was quite ridiculous what was on there. And two people say, you know, one said, you know, one was quite formal, you know, it's not my place to be sharing stuff like that.
Wow.
Just like, you know,
that's amazing. Yeah. I feel like I saw a map the other day about how like all the different countries around the world where the United States is kind of fucked around. Either through the military supporting regimes or fucking around with the leadership. And so I think it's hilarious that people say that, because the reality is the United States is a big player in the world economy, and what happens in the States really does affect a lot of shit that's going on around the world. And so I think it's completely unfair and unrealistic to say, it's none of your business. It has nothing to do with you. Fucking does.
That has nothing. Yeah. I don't think that has anything to do with politics. That has something to do with people's their need to scold. That's far more.
Yeah, maybe.
That's far more of it than anything. Because it's like, you know, on this podcast, we never talk politics. The only time we talk politics, we lost a listener from Cyprus, which is still to this day my favorite fucking thing that ever happened. We might as well bring...
And that wasn't even polished. That was monarchy.
We got to bring it up. Yeah, we got to bring it up. Every so often, we can't let people forget about Cyprus in the morning. The queen died. The queen died. And, you know, part of Craig's entire existence, the queen was there. And you felt the need to say something, which is okay. You know, this part of your entire your life, your parents' life, she's in. And you said something. You said something very, just, it wasn't like, it was just very nice. It wasn't crazy. And we got this guy who listened to the podcast for years. He used to send questions, and I remember his name. I remember he would send all those questions. And he wrote this vicious message saying that, I'm not going to listen to this podcast anymore because Craig supports the queen. And he starts talking about all the atrocities that England's done. And the best part was, I thought to myself, well, we're going to read this on the air. And then we just obliterated him. And he said he wasn't going to listen. And we said, well, if you don't listen, you have to give back all the information that you've learned from this podcast. You're no longer allowed to use. You're no longer allowed to use anything. Any tips we got, we're taking it all back.
Yeah.
And the best part,
they'll come and confiscate the coffee from me.
And the best part was, a couple weeks pass, and he says, "Well, I did. I'm getting this message because my friends are making fun of me because you yelled at me." And he just went, it was the most hilarious thing. And it was like, I think the last time you talked about politics.
I think so. Yeah.
God damn, yeah. Cyprus in the morning was unbelievable. I will never forget how much I love that interaction.
We've had some good interactions over the years. I think.
Nothing beats Cyprus in the morning, though.
No, you're probably right. Yeah, probably right. Anyway, let's call it a day. Thank you all for listening, and we will be back next week. If you've got any questions, any suggestions, anything you want to tell us, we are Knife Talk Podcast on Instagram. We shall speak to you next week. Bye for now.
Hey, y'all. Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.